You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
DMTWclothing.com. Don't make this weird. Whatever it is that you do in life, again, do with your heart, chase your passions, and watch it become reality. That's what we're about.
You guys are going to find some cool items, some MMCast items for sale here in the next 3 weeks. They'll be all launched, and next, you know, more conventions, things like that. So,
welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Mon.
Music. And welcome back to Masters Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up? It's the morning and we're recording a podcast. This is exciting.
Yeah.
We have We have actual things that are exciting. It's not really early. We're just lazy.
So we have a spoiler card today.
It's crazy. Wizards was like, you guys cover Modern and like, we should give you a card that's sweet for Modern to preview. And we were like, really? And they were like, yeah. And we're like, all right, we're in.
Yeah. So due to some Twitch problems.
That's code for Kessler making mistakes.
We're just going to start going into what the card is. We had this whole plan. But we'll talk about it and we'll go through stuff. But first, let's just get through the spoiler. So first, let's show some sweet art.
Yeah, the art's totally sweet. Let's go with our normal plan of how we were going to premiere this. There's a few people that saw it, but you know, there's, I wonder how quickly this is going to end up on like MTG Salvation or like a Mythic spoiler. Like, I wonder if it's already up.
I wonder if these guys screenshotted it. Did one of you guys screenshot this and then share it to the world? All right, let's go back to here. All right, so today we're talking about Discarded Modern. I wonder why.
Yeah.
You're going to find out.
You wonder why.
So.
It's because we both really wanted to build a deck with Asylum Visitor ever since it got spoiled. And we've just been working super hard to build a deck with Asylum Visitor. And, well, you know, today's the day we decided to talk about Asylum Visitor.
That's what it is. All right. So, you know, first off, let's make sure everyone's following us on things. We're at the MMCast.
I'm at Ben Bateman Media.
I'm at Cass Wiley. You can follow us on this Twitch stream. Please go follow us at twitch.tv/TheMMCast. Yeah, it's new. It's no longer my own personal Twitch stream.
Yeah,
so
we have
achievements all around.
And guys in the chat and everybody, say hello to our new assistant intern, Desiree. Hi, Desiree.
Wave. Say hi. Just say it really loud so that the mic picks you up.
Hello. How are you guys?
Yes, exactly.
Say hi, Desiree, everybody.
Hi, Desiree. So that's what's going on this morning. That's our Twitters. We are a sister podcast of The Command Zone on RocketJump.com. That's Jimmy and Josh. They do awesome Commander content. And then, of course, we are on Patreon. We have a sweet Patreon that's going out like today or something. Did those show up, the DVDs? Do you have them yet?
They get like the 20th.
Today's the 30th.
We'll get it this weekend.
Okay.
By this weekend.
So, yeah, you guys will have like a new whole little package deal of Patreon things that we're sending out if you're Swagbox members. We share like deck techs of deck techs that you guys submit exclusively to the Patreon. That is patreon.com/TheMMCast. And ultimately, you guys contributing to the podcast means we can continue to like buy gear and do cool stuff. And then, of course, last but not least, is that we have a partnership that is brewing. No pun intended. This ain't really a pun. Just related to magic, kind of.
Just keep going.
With these guys, lifestyle brand, clothing brand, DMTW Clothing. These guys are awesome. They have a merch store they're launching for us. We've seen previews of the products, and they're coming out sooner than later, and they're really awesome. Like, we really, really like them. So we're partnering with those guys on some items, some merch, possibly some event coordination. We will have more information on that soon, but definitely check that out. DMTW, those guys are rad, and the brand, we're a podcast that talks about magic cards. Our magic card podcast is growing up, and they're helping us grow it up, so that's fun. Now let's talk about magic cards.
All right, so.
Yep.
Discard's the main form of position in Modern.
Of permission?
Yeah. So, like, Modern doesn't have great counterspells, but it has great discard, and that's kind of what its purpose is. People always complain that there's no Force of Will, but in reality, Thought Seize is that force of will.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's there. Yeah, I mean, there's decent counter spells. There's decent control. It's just they're just not like.
Well, but I guess the point is that force of will and daze are the stopgaps of legacy. Like they're the thing that prevent degenerate things from happening. And in modern, that really is Thoughtseize and Inquisition of Kozilek.
For the most part, yeah.
They're the ones that stop decks from being a little too unfair. So yeah.
Yep. So I agree.
So what are some of the best discard spells in modern?
Well, you have the two main ones. You have disc. You have.
Well, I feel like the best one is.
Well, no. I mean, I thought this is a better card than Liliana.
No.
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Absolutely.
Wrong.
Liliana is like unique and powerful, but Thoughtseize plays on turn one. Thoughtseize is the card. You just said it yourself. Thoughtseize is our force of will. If you need to play a card that's going to like stop the other person from doing something, it's Thoughtseize.
Yeah, but if you the chances of a person winning if you successfully cast and have this going between Thoughtseize and Liliana wins you the game. Thoughtseize stalls them out until.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Obviously, a planeswalker that costs three is going to be more powerful than a sorcery that costs one. That's just math. They would never make a one drop more powerful at sorcery than a three mana planeswalker. They just wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point. The point is that. Thoughtseize, as we've said, that's an answer that can be played in any deck or any deck that wants to play black. Double black, this is a specific card. I mean, it's apples and oranges here, but you can't convince me that Liliana is the more versatile, better, more efficient, like more valuable card than Thoughtseize. It just doesn't exist. Anyway, the point is, you have Thoughtseize and Inquisition, and then you have Liliana. Those are the best ones. And then you have a
slew of creature discard spells that are all. These are kind of the three different classes. There's the Planeswalker one, there's the two targeted ones, and then there's these guys.
Right. And then, I mean, Vendilion Click, Thought Not Seer, Scholar, so none of those actually, Thought Not Seer gets rid of the card.
So does
forever.
Vendilion Click. I mean, it puts it on the bottom, and Title of Scholar exiles it. I mean, it definitely is different, and they all kind of do a very interestingly similar thing, but they all are discard spells.
Yeah, it's true. I love Scholar, and I love all these cards. Actually, these are like my favorite kinds of cards. you didn't list the like mediocre two mana.
Yeah, these are the best.
No, but like
best discard.
Yeah.
But you just said mediocre.
but there's like Wrench Mind, and there's like cards like that.
Yeah, and then there's like what's the retrace?
Yeah, discard? Raven's Crime.
Raven's Crime. Raven's Crime is probably the one of that I didn't mention that I think could be maybe in this kind of area of play.
K-Command is like a sweet card that has this card attached to people play sometimes.
Blightning.
Blightning.
Doesn't see play.
If it costs three and it doesn't like have the if it costs three and doesn't have the ability to target something other than just a discard spell, like Blightning is three damage, but you can't target with it. That's why I think K-Command gets played, is because it has additional targets that are relevant and interactive. There's obviously like Stupor, and there's cards that cost three, but like really three mana discard doesn't get played in modern unless it's repeatable like Liliana. So
all right, so what would you say? You know, we often talk about Ben hitting the microphone. We often talk about as well, you know, cards in Legacy that are or Legacy Legal that aren't available in modern. And as far as discard goes, there's probably three or two main cards in Legacy and one in Vintage that are legal that like are very powerful. Like, we have pretty much all of the really powerful discard other than these three cards. Specifically, the big one is Hymn to Torak.
Yes, Hymn to Torak is sweet. We haven't had it.
We have all
yet.
The art here for those watching the stream.
Pulled all of them. Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, and my favorite is obviously the one in the center, which is the wolf one, which is the best one.
Because it reminds you of Game of Thrones.
No, I mean, I liked it before Game of Thrones.
The wolf one like, looks like a t-shirt that someone from Napoleon Dynamite would wear.
Yeah. That's what I want when I'm causing my opponent to discard.
I think of the hymn art. Yeah, maybe that's the sweetest one. I like the one on
like,
the left.
It's not like, I mean, like this yellowy one with like the dudes at the table isn't exactly winning any contests soon.
That one on the left is sweet though.
Yeah, like the old dude with the cape.
Yeah.
And like the people doing a little hymn.
I didn't think that the new one that they made was that cool, the From the Vault 21.
Other than the fact that it's a foil card, I have no...
Yeah, right. But yeah, the wolf is sweet.
So like beyond that, like it, you know, Cabal Therapy is another one that we've talked about where it's like a card that I actually think this specific card could be reprinted in Modern if we ever get back to a set with Flashback, just from a power level perspective.
Yeah.
It's not too strong, I don't think. Mind Twist, which is too strong in most formats, right? I mean, it's banned in Legacy still.
It's definitely too strong.
If Mind serves me correctly, I don't think this is ever happening. But... Before we get to the spoiler card, let's open a pack.
Okay, on audio?
Yeah. We'll just tell people what it is. So opening Battle for Zendikar. This is what we did last time.
Yep.
All right. Battle for Zendikar one. Let's see. Do we get it? Do we get the expedition? Are we that lucky? A bunch of stuff that we don't care about. And
you're aggressively slapping the table with cards.
Shrine of the Sephiroth. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. The Swamp is the most expensive card in the pack. All right. Moving on. Spoiler time. Let's see that sweet art.
Super sweet.
It's a little foggy.
People on the chat are not still talking about the card. They didn't see it. They forgot.
Yeah. The people that saw. So, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. But moving on.
Yeah.
This is the art. It's a sweet knight, Cathar dude stabbing a piece.
Should we reveal the name quickly?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you. All with the PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Whispers of Emrakul. So. The card is called Whispers of Emrakul, and it whispers of Emrakul.
It's definitely not murder, person on Twitch stream, after we talked about discard.
Yeah, right.
All
right.
It's a sorcery.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Slow rolling it.
Slow.
And get your screenshots ready. Whispers of Emrakul.
Boom. Whispers of Emrakul. Spoiler sites.
Yeah, so.
Haunted of Night's Reach.
Let's make this a little bit bigger. All right. Tell me about it, Ben. Read what it does.
Here you go. Whispers of Emrakul, sorcery. One black, one colorless. It's an uncommon. Target opponent discards a card at random. But there's more.
Yeah. Delirium.
Delirium.
Which is the hitch.
If there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard, that player discards two cards at random instead.
So this is delirium.
Wait.
No.
Flavor text.
Okay.
Your thoughts are no longer your own. There you go.
So yeah, so we got Delirium Hymn to Torak.
Yeah, it's like a Delirium Hymn.
It's like I was hinting that this would happen when I showed all of the art for the different Hymn to Torak and then the other cards we talked about in small little boxes in the corner that don't matter.
We've had this card for like, what, a week now?
Yeah.
How many conversations have you like wanted to have with your friends being like, I have this sweet card I want to tell you.
Well, the amount of times I'm like... Can I ask if, like, how good would Hymn to Torak be in Modern? Can I have that conversation with someone without inferring anything about the spoiler card?
I told you, that's legitimately, like, I was tweeting something like that until I reread the email. They were like, things you can't say. This card will make you look twice at Hymn to Torak. I was like, yep, glad I didn't tweet
I really wanted, like, the day of, and they were like, oh, I just announced that we have a spoiler to, like, tweet also, like, oh, so 8-Rack, tell me how this deck plays.
Yeah, right?
Can someone tell me? So, you know, on the note of Hymn to Torak and Whispers of Emrakul, you know my like best finish in a tournament ever, which
was
like top 12,
wasn't
was Mono Black
Legacy?
Pox playing for Hymn to Torak. I'm excited for this card, either in Pox Legacy for, you know, 8 Pox, but or 8 Hymns, but more importantly, you know, 8-Rack is a deck in Modern. There is a almost Pox deck in Modern place. 4 small Pox plays, you know, Raven's Crime plays,
yep.
Thoughtseize, Lilian, all those good things. This kind of slides right in there, and so we're going to be talking a little bit about that and how that works.
Yeah, I mean, this card's interesting. It's good because it's aggressive and targeted, so you can go with like you can put it into sort of a discard shell like that. It's a pretty solid card if you're just playing a value deck. Like, I don't think that this card in decks like Jund or Grixis or Abzan, like, this card seems pretty much fine. Like, I don't.
Oh. Mr. Jeskai Angel came up with. Not Delirium, but Delira Him.
Delira Him, that's good.
Hey.
That's clever. Like, you could... I'm not saying necessarily this card would see play in Jund or Abzan, but, like, it's good. Like, I think you could fill up your Delirium pretty fast, and honestly, if you're getting two at random for two, that's good enough value for those decks. It's a two-for-one.
Well, and to be totally honest, I think just... worst-case scenario, casting a Whispers of Emrakul... just for the regular of target opponent discards a card random, sometimes it's just going to get there.
Yeah.
Like it by itself, if you don't have Delirium turned on and you just don't have anything to do on turn two, casting it is not the worst thing on the planet.
Yeah. Agreed. So I think that there's a lot of ways you can take this card. It's also really nice that it's black and a colorless as opposed to black.
Yeah. No, that's for the fact that you have to get Delirium, they make it a little bit easier to cast.
Yeah, well, it also just means that instead of you know, Wrench Mind, which is black, and target player discards, how does Wrench Mind work? It's something with an artifact, right? They like reveal cards, and if it's like they like reveal cards, and if you see an artifact, they discard two or something like that. But anyway, the point is, Wrench Mind is black, and it potentially has them discarding two cards. The reason Wrench Mind is not as
you know, good is obviously it's just not as good of a card, but also, yeah, it's black. Target player discards two cards from his or her hand unless he or she discards an artifact card from his or her hand. So it's not random. And if they have an artifact, they can just discard one. But okay. It's still a 2-for-2. That's like...
Sure.
But this card is definitely better, and it's black and colorless.
Yeah, I feel like people... When you first start playing Magic, you underestimate the power of randomness in a discard effect.
Right.
Because getting to choose which card you get rid of and not getting to choose which card you get rid of is a completely different world.
Totally different game.
So definitely just by itself pretty decent. But if you can turn on Delirium, there's some sick things you can do.
Totally.
Next slide. What do you think the best deck for Whispers of Emrakul are?
I mean, I think the best deck for Whispers of Emrakul is that 8-rack deck you're talking about. It's just the most efficient.
It's the first on the list. So we got two lists here. We have Tom Ross's one from 2015 he posted and wrote an article about. And we also have OutCloud Post Gaming, when I subtly asked for an 8-rack deck yesterday or the day before.
Sweet.
Sent me their list. So yeah, for people who don't know, basically The Rack and Shrieking Afflection are both one-drop cards. One is an artifact, one is enchantment,
right,
which is important to keep in mind for that delirium goodness. But both of them, if a player has less than X cards in hand, they do damage to them.
Yep.
I think it's three.
You're talking about Shrieking Afflection?
Shrieking Afflection one, and,
yeah,
and
one
The
black
Rack.
Is three cards or less.
And The Rack is, if you have less than four cards, you lose life equal to less,
yeah,
whatever. Yeah.
So okay. It's the worst black vice.
Yes.
Yeah. They would never reprint black dice.
No, that's too good. So it plays, you know, eight of those. That's why it's called 8-rack, because The Rack is, you know, the older card, and there's now eight of them. Four, you know, Liliana of the Veil. We talked about that. Four Thoughtseize. Four Inquisition of Kozilek. Four Wrenchmind. This plays four Surgical Extraction and four Geth's Verdict, though it mentions that it could play any targeted removal. Tom Ross's list plays four Dismember. He thinks that, he wrote about it, he thinks that... just the versatility of, yes, you lose some life sometimes, but as a one drop, it's great, and as a three drop, it's fine.
Yep.
You know, you want to play Mutavaults. Raven's Crime is also the big one, and it uses stuff like Darkmoor Savage to kind of use that as a continuous discard effect. But basically, the idea of this deck, and it's similar to the Pox deck online, and, you know, a lot of the times these decks play Smallpox, is just make it so your opponent doesn't cast a spell ever. Just rip apart their hand and then kill anything they play in the early turns, and then just slowly kill them with The Rack or Shrieking Affliction.
Right.
All the removal is dead because you have no creatures.
Yes.
You have four Mutavaults. That's your creature suite.
This deck doesn't, I mean, to be perfectly honest, this deck doesn't sound very fun to play to me.
I mean, it depends. Yeah, for you.
It's your style of deck, I guess.
Yeah, I don't like attacking. Attacking's overrated. You have to do math.
Yeah.
And
but
count.
But I hear you. I mean, everything doesn't sound very fun until you win with it. So, you know, or anything can sound
fun. I mean, I don't know.
Until
I mean,
you win with
in life, winning or not winning, if I have a choice to play a grindy deck that doesn't do anything but stops my opponent from doing something and or do something that's proactive, I choose the grindy deck that doesn't do anything.
Always. That's just always your style.
I mean, or there's a graveyard interaction. Speaking of Delirium, yeah. So... Sorry, I was looking at the Twitch stream, but
your thoughts are no longer your own. People were just getting on board with the flavor text.
Yeah. All right. So this is 8-rack. This is probably the easiest place to slide this in. There's also an 8-whack, which is a goblin version of this deck that I don't have a list for and I'm not comfortable with.
No, it has nothing to do with this deck. 8-whack, it just has the same name. 8-whack?
Yeah.
It's the Bushwhackers deck.
Yeah. There's no. I thought there was a... It has nothing to do with 8-rack?
No, it's just a. It's just, it's because
doesn't
it's
have like a discard suite associated with.
No, just
goblins.
It's Bushwhacker and the other one.
Oh, yeah.
You play eight copies of the Goblin.
Okay, I've never actually looked at the list. Okay,
yeah.
Well, that looks bad. All right, moving on. Grixis Control. So this is kind of the grindy decks. I mean, obviously, we'll go over a little bit over John Junk and Bug as well as Grixis Control, but specifically, let's start here because this is the one that's kind of a little bit set up already to take advantage of it because you get the Jace, Jace Vryn's Prodigy, and Snapcaster Mage game plan.
I love that card is just like Vryn's Prodigy is just like that card is just everywhere now. Like it took like a second to catch on. I was like, oh yeah, this is just good in every deck. So let's just build around it all the time.
And it's something I've been throwing in more recently than I used to, but I think Jace might be a little bit worse than it. Everyone kind of thought about it in the very beginning.
Oh, really?
Because it is good. Don't get me wrong, but it's not like bonkers. It is bonkers.
It's totally bonkers. What are you talking about?
I just think if Snapcaster is a 10, I think Jace is a 9.
That's totally fair. It's not as good as Snapcaster.
But, you know, the way this deck is currently built, and it's a little hard to see, so I'm going to highlight stuff because I have the power to highlight stuff. The deck is based around casting... you know, basically looping Colligan's Command is kind of the original way this deck kind of started creating. But in here I have, you know, Mishra's Baubles to get that Delirium up, Dark Blast to start dredging a little bit to get that Delirium up, Geist of Fire to get that Delirium up. Seal of Fire.
Seal of Fire.
Tar Fire, which is the tribal red goblin spell.
Yep.
And Bitter Blossom. Those are kind of like the suite of cards that I think Bitter Blossom as a card in decks that aren't fairies and or tokens is a little underrated.
Yeah, totally. In my little brew that I put together, I have Bitter Blossom in there also for the same reason.
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason is just like, as a grindy threat against any deck that's trying to go to the late game, it's really good. Like, it's very hard for those decks to beat.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, Abrupt Decay is good against it, but other than that, and even then, Abrupt Decay, you know, you two, one for one each other, they killed your two-drop enchantment, and now you have Delirium because your fairy enchantment is in the graveyard, which is half of Delirium. And, you know, most decks have a problem with the fourth part of Delirium, not the first three. So there's definitely a lot that this does. So it's very good at getting Delirium online because it has Thought Scour. It has Seal of Fire. It has Tar Fire. It has all these different ways to do it. And that kind of turns on the ability to use our spoiler card.
Traditionally, Delirium is going to be like land, sorcery, instant, or like a land, sorcery, creature, or something like that, right?
Well, you're definitely going to get land, instant sorcery.
As the first three.
In modern land, instant sorcery is really easy.
Yeah.
Casting, shooting a lightning bolt at them, playing Thoughtseize, and
Seer and
Vision fetching,
or something.
Or Seer and Vision fetching is like really easy. It's right. That fourth piece, the Planeswalker, the artifact, the enchantment, the creature.
If you
want a little bit
Delirium,
harder.
If you want to have Delirium early.
Yeah, especially on turn two, which with this card.
You really would like this to be a
Whisper
turn
of Emrakul, you like a turn two is really important. So this deck kind of is taking advantage of that with Seal of Fire, Tar Fire hits both. It's an instant
tribal. It's the same as like Bitter Blossom.
It's shock, but with Goblin Tribal. So all of them kind of do a little bit of that. The other decks like in this grindy world, and we don't really have lists built, but you know, I also think Bug is a good place to go because you get Tarmogoyf. You're already trying to be unique in how you're filling up your deck with cards.
Yep.
And so by having Tarmogoyf, you know, you play a little bit more of a beefy card and the game becomes a little bit more aggro where you're using that. And you can close out games. Because one thing that's important with him, the Torak effects, is the quicker you end the game, the better.
Right.
And, you know, one of the other premier decks that plays him, the Torak, in Legacy, other than Pox, is Shardless Bug.
Yep.
And
that's the Shard of the
Agent
deck.
We play Tarmogoyf, we play Bob, we play all these cards that kind of gain value and then kill you with value. This deck can do very similar things now that it has Hymn to Torak. It still doesn't have the Cascade into Ancestral Visions play.
Yeah.
But, you know, Cascade and the Hymn to Torak was one of the big plays of that deck.
As they continue to push Delirium, are we getting closer to considering the little Baby Goyf, the little X4?
3/4 is just not that good.
Well, wait. It's only up to 3?
Yeah, it gets +3/+0.
Oh, it's not equal to.
No.
I was mixing that up. Yeah, 3/4/2 is not good enough.
Right.
Though it's probably not.
But people have been talking about Goyf.deck, which is Tarmogoyf, that guy. There's the new one drop version that's a 3/3 if you have Delirium.
Yeah.
Now there's this Hymn to Torak reprint,
yeah.
Whispers of Emrakul.
But
so
just
definitely
like,
like,
but just like any kind of design where you're looking for A to get you B, the more of those things you put in the deck, the less slots you have to get to your Delirium.
Right.
So you start to get into that weird, like, this is what we always run into with Grand Architect. It's like, you need blue creatures, but you can't tap blue creatures to cast blue creatures, so, and you don't want artifacts when you want blue creatures.
Sure.
You only want one, you know what I mean?
And the last place I'd say we could maybe go with this is Jund. Like, the thing you have to, like, Seal of Fire does a lot of work here.
Yep.
Seal of Fire by itself, or even Tar Fire, both of them, can very easily just turn it on. And you can play maybe even a Dark Blast. So you play like kind of a mix of the three of those as like your kind of get stuff into your graveyard.
Yeah.
And you no longer really have to worry about Delirium that hard. It's harder on turn two. Like the one thing that's nice about Grixis Control is you get access to Thought Scour.
Thought Scour is the thing. Yeah,
and being able to mill two cards and just get lucky and hit not a land.
Yeah, I mean, land instant. So then you just have to get lucky on the next two on the cards that get milled. But yeah, it's true. I mean, it's not like just Thought Scouring is on turn one is always going to get you turn two Delirium. Like, that's not a thing. But anyhow,
Do the Twitch feed. The last deck we didn't talk about is Mardu.
Yeah.
And I think this is the deck, and I tried making this work for, I made a Mardu Super Friends, I called it. Like the last PTQ season I kind of played in before PTQ started.
Yeah.
I was playing a Mardu Super Friends deck that was very token heavy. I called it Guardians of the Galaxy. It was like literally that summer.
Right.
Because Super Friends is good guys, and there's a tinge of black in there. So you got to be a little evil, a little self-involved. But moving on.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a deck that also, it plays Lily on it. You can do stuff, get stuff in your graveyard. Like, that's the point, is like, how quick can you get good stuff in your graveyard? You know, maybe moving the teamer tempo decks using Abbot of Killkeep.
Yeah.
Chapin was kind of harping about, with that was using Mishra's Bauble. Moving that into more of a Grixis colors, getting rid of green, you lose Tarmogoyf. But you get access to the Hymn to Torak effect, which is a good value play.
Yep.
It does a lot there. You're going to get your graveyard filled really quickly. You also get access to Gurmag Anglers, which, you know, getting your graveyard filled is really good.
Yep.
If you, like, do this with Delirium on, then the next turn Gurmag Angler, that's, like, a lot. How do you get past that?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you empty their hands and play a 5/5. It's pretty good. Card's up on Reddit now. No worries. Sweet.
All right. You have a brew.
It's not on the screen, though.
Yeah, no, you're going to have to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I didn't realize when you asked me for the brew that I was working on that you wanted a brew that used this card. I think I was just tired. So I sent you, like, this very silly, like, weird Sky Hussar counterbalance, Ethervile, Sage of Epitir thing I've been working on, which is, like, not very refined. And then the second thing I started working on was with this card. So I was not kidding earlier when I talked about Asylum Visitor and how much I like that card. For those of you that don't remember what Asylum Visitor is, it's one black, one colorless for a 3/1 Vampire Wizard. At the beginning of each player's upkeep, if that player has no cards in hand, you draw a card and lose one life. So it triggers on both upkeeps. And it also has Madness for a black and a colorless. I think this card's pushed. I think this card is good. And I don't think it's like people are messing with it or trying to play with it. I liked the idea of playing four Confidant, four Asylum Visitor, and like starting from there and just being like, all right, so I'll definitely have card advantage and I'll definitely be losing life. How am I going to get there? It seems like with the way Modern is set up, if you want to lose a lot of life, you can. So I was like, why not just play Death Shadow and keep the deck mono black, and just Death Shadow won't come down on turn one or two, but like probably you'll be getting it down on turn three most games. So then you start to just fill in the blanks and like, you start to, you know, fill in the blanks and like, all right, you definitely want to play this new card. So I don't think you play it as a 4-of in this deck. I have it as a 3-of. You have to play enough variety in your cards, obviously, to achieve Delirium consistently. So you play a whole bunch of fetch lands, even though you're mono black, but you are trying to get your life total down. So, you know, that's fine. You're trying to get Death Shadow. Dismember becomes your removal of choice, because again, exactly like Tom Ross said, it's scalable, it's good, and if you want to pay your 4 life to cast it, you can. You play 4 Liliana of the Veil. I wanted a cheap and easy way to empty my hand if I get a Silent Visitor down on the table and I'm just like, I don't need these extra lands, or like I don't need this, you know, these second copies of discard spells. So I threw in 2 copies of Zombie Infestation, just because you can just do it all at once. If you just need to dump your whole hand, mm-hmm. you just cast Zombie Infestation. It's also it's another enchantment. So I put a couple copies of Bitter Blossom in the deck because Blossom is just good. Like, if you get Blossom down, obviously, early.
Turn 2 Blossom definitely can run away with the game.
Yeah, so what I was thinking, though, is that the same deal with how Liliana wants to be able to discard your Bitter Blossoms and your Zombie Infestations and things as part of Delirium, I like the idea that just for Delirium, like playing Liliana into Liliana, and then you throw 4 copies of the Thoughtseize, 2 Inquisitions. I play a single Surgical Extraction in here just because I like the idea. I like the idea that you're probably going to know what's in their hand a lot of the time. I mean, based on the fact that you're playing all of the targeted discard and whatnot, I like just being able to draw Surgical Extraction and pay the 2 life. You know, it's another way to get your life total down for Death Shadow. And then to keep your life total lower and also mix things up for Delirium, I'm playing 3 Gitaxian Probe, more ways than other hand, and 3 Mishra's Bauble. So you end up playing 20 land. It's 20 land with, I threw 4 Mutavald in because you're
mono black, and like nothing is really that taxing on your black other than like.
So you're kind of a little bit of a pox deck, but more based on gaining value off of Bob and.
Yeah, you're like a pox deck that's just like, I'm going to just drain your hand and I'm going to kill you.
Tempo pox.
Yeah, because like your two cards that are generating you tempo are aggressive creatures. I mean, they're not super aggressive. 2/1s for two are not exactly super aggressive, but like.
Well, you have a 13 for 13.
Yeah, I mean, your Death Shadow, you're going to probably be down around 10 life pretty fast in this deck. So okay. I'm guessing
it's that. Like mono black Death Shadow.
Yeah, and I mean, you have Mutavault, so it's another one of those things where like, yeah, their hand's empty, and you have Bitter Blossom, like you have ways to win. You definitely have ways to win. And then there's just, as you said, I mean, you're playing six 1-mana targeted removal spells or targeted discard spells, as well as 3 copies of this new card and Liliana. So you have a pretty hefty amount of control to go along with your little card advantage-y mono black creatures. So yeah, that's the deck I'm working on.
So some things to keep in mind with this card also is there's a lot of people that look at Delirium and think, oh, Tarmogoyf. There is a difference. Tarmogoyf does work off of your opponent's graveyard.
Yep.
So Delirium is a little bit harder in Modern than Tarmogoyf is. But that's why we're focusing so much on cards that get different card types into your graveyard.
Right.
You get the enchantment into your graveyard. You get the artifact with Mishra's Bauble into your graveyard. You get sorceries and stuff quickly so that you can kind of turn these cards on because it definitely is an issue.
Why is Zombie Infestation not like a thing that people play with more often? I just want to ask. I mean, I understand
the cost involved with discarding two cards.
It's a high cost. I hear that. Totally. But it's like the only cheap effect that exists in Modern that allows you to... It's like the only cheap effect that exists in Modern that allows you to just like empty your hand if you need to. And I know you don't get that much of an
Except have you seen the new one?
Which one?
The new Vampire? Discard Outlet?
No.
It was a Channel Fireball preview. Black, yeah. Black, Vampire, something. Discard a card for free.
Yeah.
Every Vampire you control gets +1/+1 until end of turn.
Really?
You can only do it once a turn.
Oh, well.
What's a Lord? That turns madness and discard. I mean, yes, you can't discard your whole hand like Zombie Infestation, so you can't get Hellbent.
Yeah.
But you wanted that free discard spell for that fake counter spell we were talking about a week ago.
It does not sorcery speed, though? It's instant speed?
Yeah, instant speed.
Once per turn?
You can only do it once per turn.
Sounds kind of sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, by turn 4, you're going to discard your whole hand.
Is he a good... Are his stats any good?
He's like a 2-2 for 2.
He's like a 2-2 for 2?
Yeah.
Oh. Not bad.
Theoretically, when you discard a spell, he's a 3-3 for 2.
Still doesn't dodge a lightning bolt. He can only do it once per turn. He's still
a
3-3.
He's a lord.
Kind of.
He's a lord.
Kind of. He discard a card.
He's a 2-mana lord even.
Yeah. He's a lord. He's just kind of a lord. Not really a lord, though.
Rolls my eyes. Is Wolfear Silverheart a lord?
Wolfear Silverheart. The 5-mana...
No, the green werewolf that when you target a werewolf,
that's not
Wolfear
Silverheart. That's Silver Fur Partisan.
Oh, whatever. Okay.
You're mixing it up with the 4/4 for 5.
All these Wolfears.
Soul Bond.
All right.
Get your facts straight, Kistler.
All right. So, you know, it's time
and that
time
card's
to
not a lord. No.
Time to wrap it up.
Yeah. I guess this because this is like a quick bonus episode. We already did our episode this week.
Yeah.
Is
there anything else you want to talk about with this card?
No, just I would like to see more people playing with Silent Visitor, but that's
nothing to do with Whispers of Emrakul. I do think this card is sweet. I like the idea. You know, Wizards over the last kind of couple of years has made a focus on taking cards from the past that were good and then using newer mechanics to try and kind of make them work. And sometimes they're not successful. You get cards like the Miracle Time Walk that didn't do a whole lot until very recently.
Temporal Mastery.
But then sometimes you get Treasure Cruise, which is like just Ancestral Visions on a sorcery.
I saw somebody on Star City Games working on a list, Temporal Trespass, Delver Delve list, which I thought was interesting. Oh, it was Blue Red. I think it was Blue Red Delver, and it had 2 copies of Temporal Trespass in it. I'm wondering if the world's going to swing back on that card eventually. It'd be like, yeah, it's really overcosted, but it's still just as a 3-mana time walk. You know?
Yeah.
I wonder. I'm curious. You just weren't listening to me, were you?
No, not at all.
Just constructing a tweet?
Yeah, I'm tweeting the card.
Yeah, good.
It's on Reddit, apparently. We might as well tweet it.
Yeah. All right, guys. We love you. Thank you. Thank you for listening and tuning in live for our new Twitch streaming account. I'm an old man. Follow the Twitch stream account.
that you're watching. And us also. You can see us on the screen here. I'm at Ben Bateman Media.
I'm at Kes Wiley.
And very soon we're going to be streaming video, like actually video. We'll have a video setup. It'll be very cool. And, you know, we'll be on screen more. And then we have the sister podcast that we mentioned already, The Command Zone. They're awesome. They're on rocketjump.com. You can go find our old catalog of episodes on rocketjump.com or iTunes. Same with theirs. And of course, DMTW Clothing. Thank you guys for helping us get everything set up with the merch store that's coming soon. And last but not least, our Patreon.com/TheMMcast if you guys want to help.
And Facebook support. And Instagram. And all. We're on everything.
Oh, we have an Instagram. I keep forgetting. Yeah. We just launched it.
Yeah, yeah. I post pictures there. I'll probably post this card to our Instagram.
That seems smart. Yeah. That seems like a smart.
I'm going to do that right now. Go to our Instagram to check out the card, everybody. All right. I want to thank all the guys on the Twitch stream. Thanks for coming on. Hope you guys have fun. To wrap this up, we're going to open up a Russian Khans of Tarkir pack. What are the chances? What's going to happen? And Russian -2/-2 enchantment. Russian prowess 3/1 red guy for 3. Russian outlast +1/+1 reach guy. Russian artifact that lets you look at morph creatures. Russian sack guys to get toughness life. Morph blue dude. Death touching warrior 1-drop. Is that a counterspell? I don't know what this is. You tell me what this is. All warriors get +2/+1, +1 counters x3. That bat.
That bat was sweet.
The purse and what's the Sultai Ascendancy and a foil Russian forest. I think in total on both of these packs,
the lands were the most valuable. I want to open a pack. We have an Origins and a Shadows pack.
Open the Shadows pack.
All right, I'm opening the Shadows.
We opened a Jace last time, and I think that's from the same box as that Magic pack. So
yeah, well, but those packs you gave me for my birthday, you thought were all like, and I got good stuff out of those packs.
I have like a pack collection from like pre-releases and fat packs that I buy that I don't open.
Those packs. And I gave them from that. Sick.
Yeah.
All right, we got to survive the night. We got Adjust the Wind. We got an Emissary of the Sleepless. We got a Wicker Witch. Strength of Arms, Watcher in the Web, Twins of Mourner Estate, Insolent Neonate.
I need that, actually.
Epitaph Golem, Fleeting Memories, Spiteful Motives, Asylum Visitor.
Yeah, you just talked about it.
I love
That's
this
great.
Card. Solitary Hunter, and a Foil Thraven Inspector.
That actually might be... I would hold on to that Foil Thraven Inspector.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen this and played in some lists. What's the polymorph for artifacts?
Polymorph for, I think I know the one you're
talking
about.
Shape
anew. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So someone on Twitch stream just asked, we'll do some Twitch questions. Guys on Twitch, ask us some questions while we open this last pack. There's one last pack. It's the Magic Origins one. I'm going to do this quick while we wait for you guys to ask us questions.
Foil Jace. That's so funny. We would open this card. This card's sweet.
We were just talking about it.
Love Asylum Visitor.
A bunch of cards that aren't good in list. We get 2 uncommons.
Link to Instagram? I don't really know if you can. How do you link to
Instagram? Oh, we got an Abbot Carol Keep.
Oh, nice. That's a great card.
Yeah.
Love Abbot.
Look at that. And more importantly, a Sigiled Starfish.
Donate in Modern Thoughts. Well, there's the red donate that they just premiered this morning.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think that card is probably sweet. I was looking at the card that I would... try playing with is Leyline of the Void, and let me get to it. I have it written down. Leyline of the Void and Immortal Coil. Do you know what Immortal Coil is? This is actually one of the first decks I ever built.
Black card from Alara.
It's an artifact enchant, an artifact card. Yeah. Black, 2 colorless. You may tap it to remove 2 cards from your graveyard to draw a card. If damage would be dealt to you, you prevent that damage. Instead, you remove a card from the game for each damage dealt to you. Lose the game if there's no cards in your graveyard. So, if you donate this to your opponent and you have Leyline of the Void out, they auto lose.
Well, if you can deal damage to them.
No.
Right?
When you have no cards in your graveyard, you lose the game.
And Leyline, when you play it, it exiles their graveyard?
Well,
right?
Theoretically, it's been in play. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
You also run some Bajuka Bogs?
Sure.
That's what I want to donate. It says you lose the game when you give it to them.
Seems fun. When you guys play each other, who wins most often? I'm guessing Ben. Oh, that's nice.
Whoa.
In fact, I'll take it.
I think the only record I have of us playing is we're tied.
That was like our last match. Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe that's true. We're like 50-50. It depends on the format, and it also depends on the decks. I like to play a lot of wonky decks, so if we're like testing things out, then often my decks don't even make it to the end of games. We get frustrated. But if we're playing good cards and actually cards that can win games, then I think it's at least 50-50.
I play good cards. Of course I'm going to win more often.
What do we got? You'll see. What is the future of the modern pro scene? We've talked a lot about that on here. I mean, the future of the modern pro scene is going to be entirely dependent on, I think, third-party tournaments being run.
Well, GPs. GPs are definitely where it's going to be at for the time being. I do think that moving towards what we've talked about, of a super modern tournament at once a year. I also, the World Magic Cup always has a modern event.
Yeah.
Those are kind of, and the World Championship, I think those are kind of where we're looking at for modern play at the pro level, kind of moving forward.
Yeah.
Which is kind of better for us in the sense that we no longer will get like cards banned just to mix up the format. It'll be much more about a stability kind of issue.
Right. You may cast Eternal Scourge from exile. When Eternal Scourge becomes the target of a spell or ability an opponent controls, exile it. Oh, yeah. That just got spoiled? Huh. Seems interesting.
Oh, so you keep casting it from exile and it has the spellskate effect? 3 mana is a lot for that.
Yeah.
Like, what part of spellskate's deal is it that it's free?
Well, wait. What does it have to do with spellskate?
What's its power? Oh, wait. Oh, it's just like an internal thing from... Yeah. Oh, yeah. How big is it? What's its power? It's a three for three? It doesn't go away. I feel like it's definitely a... I don't know how to break it.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Also, you and Ben need to do a brew off. Dredge Zombies equals Ben Vamp Tribal.
Oh. Except I have a really good... We'll do that. But I call Vamps. He calls Zombies. Because he has a zombie list he's working on. And I have a vampire list I've been working on.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that.
I just want Carrie and Peter in Modern. That's the one thing that's missing. If they would just give me Carrie and
Peter... It'd be too good. We were talking about that. Yes. I went to Eternal Masters Draft on Tuesday. And that definitely came up as a conversation. It would be...
Carrie and Peter would be too
good. Imagine Viscerasir, but like as a major threat.
You could just when you sack your library to stack the deck, like you don't even... You just win.
Yeah.
You just attack with the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking way, way less good things than that, but.
So definitely down to do a probably. So next week is not the end of spoilers. This is the first week of spoilers. So next week we could do it next week.
We could do a brew off next week.
Yeah, do vampires versus zombies brew off.
My sweet.
You do zombies.
Sweet.
I do vampires.
Yeah, my zombies list was so close. It's just not quite there, but it's close.
My vampire list, I think, is like there.
Yeah.
I think it's really good.
I have a feeling mine will end up being a collected company zombies deck, but we'll see.
Okay. That's fine. That's allowed. It's not mono black versus mono black. It's colored versus colored. All right.
Yep. Yeah.
So Planeswalker 999 asked what our thoughts are on Eldritch spoilers and are there any cards that we'd be looking forward to?
Well, here's what I'll say. I would listen to our cast this week with Matt Sperling, because we touched on all the mechanics and we loosely breeze over a few cards. As far as specific opinions card for card, we're going to save that for the spoiler episode because we want to have a fun set review spoiler episode, which will be in 2 weeks. But obviously, Emrakul is exciting. We talked about Emrakul on Monday. There are definitely some cards that look interesting. There was that card that got spoiled yesterday, that zombie, the four mana 4/4, the blue-black one. During your upkeep, you put 4 cards into your graveyard, and you can cast a zombie card. One zombie card. That card's interesting.
Sure. I mean, it's like a...
For modern,
it's going to slide into being one of the primary zombie commanders and commander.
Yeah, I was just thinking... I mean, four is obviously expensive in modern, but
yeah, four is really... Because it's four, and then you have to spend mana the next turn on the card you get.
Yeah, but it's also like... If you do play some sort of a zombie deck, like that just becomes like such a sick haymaker.
I think as a sideboard card, it's really good.
Yeah,
in the zombie tribal deck.
But yeah, we're definitely gonna do the full review later. So thank you guys for listening and tuning in. And this is awesome. I think this was like the first time we've really promoted like a live stream with like something exciting happening. Maybe, or I guess we've
done the first time was kind of sweet. Guys on the Twitch, stick around. We'll stick around to talk a little bit more. This is the kind of end the actual podcast recording we're doing. But definitely Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
Oh, yeah. Actually, one last thing I wanted to point out.
Yeah.
Something Kessler and I talked about for a while is like a for our Patreon listeners, we are doing additional content. And one of the things that we've talked about doing for a while is a like top X cards ever in Modern list. I don't know if we were going to say top 100, top 200, top 500, whatever it is. But it's some list like that that is going to be counting down per episode like backwards. And we're on the fence if we want to do it with every card that's ever been legal in Modern, or
it's EMN, right, for this Eldritch Moon?
Yeah. Every card that's ever been legal in Modern, or just ones that are legal now. I think it would be every card ever that's been legal in Modern, because, you know, obviously like Splinter Twin, we would want to have on like the all-time list. It was a very powerful, very relevant card for a long time. And so I think we're going to start counting that down. So if you guys think that top 100 or top 200 or top 500 would be the number you'd want to see us doing the countdown, let us know. I think 500 is too much. Even 200 might be too much, but 100 might not cover enough cards. Cause we'd probably do like 20 per episode and break it up into like 5 episodes. So whatever you guys think is the thing, let us know and we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.